Do you want to improve your classroom management skills? Do you want to increase student engagement? How about amplifying student success? You've heard me say it before. Welcome to Things That Work. Okay, so here we are. This is my first podcast. We're going to talk about digital citizenship today and exactly how we as teachers can help our students become better digital citizens in this world where they are just saturated with electronic devices, electronic input, social media, all of those things. You know, interesting, an article came up just recently at the college level where college students believe it is the professor's responsibility to keep them engaged, to keep them off of their social media. Now, I don't know what you think about this. I don't know exactly what I think about it yet. I read it last night. And initially, I was a little offended by it. I was kind of like, no, it's your responsibility to learn. Well, that may not be the case because I know that as a student, it was difficult for me to stay involved with some classes. In fact, one of my history classes, the teacher had garnered the nickname of Dr. Somonex. He was a sleeping pill that stood and lectured to you. And basically what he did was give you constant textbook readings. They were dry, they were long, and they took forever. And I remember as a student sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, I am just not going to make it through this class. I think I came out of that class with a D. And it was a lot of it had to do with engagement and interest. I just wasn't. It was difficult to drag myself to that class. It was a 7:30 class in the morning. And I'll tell you, there were some classes that met at 7:30 in the morning that I had absolutely no problem attending. They were very easy to attend. They were simple. They were engaging. I liked the teacher. And honestly, this Dr. Somonex person, I didn't dislike him. I just disliked being in the class. One-on-one, he was an incredibly interesting person. But trying to get that type of persona to come across in class evidently was very, very difficult for him. So we have what we have. And as teachers, we need to pay attention to how we present what we have. For instance, I'm an English teacher, so a lot of what I present can have a very easy, dramatic flair to it. I'm not sure what I would do if I was a math teacher. And, you know, honestly, with a performance background, it also gives me an edge as far as I'm concerned as being visually and entertainingly, I don't know if that's a word or not, but being, engaging my students, I don't have a problem holding their attention. My concern is that my entertainment aspect, my entertainment portions of my presentation will overshadow the information and the skills that I'm presenting. That is something that I have to worry about and something I have to pay very close attention to. I love the fact that so many students like coming to my class. What I'm a little frustrated with is that my test scores are not higher than they are. Now, I do not obsess over test scores. I do not, just sit there and mull over the standardized test and what it's going to do and how it's going to look. And, I want my students to do well. And I know that every year I have a new set of students. And that's something that I think we all need to focus on is the fact that every year our student body changes within our classroom. And that requires us to adapt every year to a new set of students. Not every set of students is going to behave the same way. One thing that does run common through all students, and that does appear to be the social media and digital footprint that they are gathering now, beginning even so much at an infant. I was looking through Facebook just this morning prior to this broadcast. I was looking through Facebook and I noticed that there are parents setting up Facebook pages for their children who were just born last week. I am not kidding. Born just last week and our parents are already setting up their Facebook page. These students, these children's, these people's Facebook pages and digital footprints are going to be huge, barring a solar storm, or nuclear war, or some sort of discharge that causes the collapse of the information network as we know it. These people's footprints are going to be huge. Now, there are those of you out here who probably remember what it was like with a telephone in your house, an actual landline. As a young child, I was not allowed to touch the telephone until I had been properly instructed in how to use that phone. For instance, the phone rang. I could eventually, my parents gave me permission to pick up the receiver and hand it to them. That was the first step. Then my parents would talk to me about how to talk on the phone. You don't just go, hey, when you pick up the phone. You don't just say hello. You say hello and announce who you are. Hello, this is the George residence. Or hello, this is the Smith, whatever your last name is. That is what you would use. And you would say, this is the so-and-so residence. And then you would add, may I ask who's calling? So you had these step-by-step procedures. And you had a pad of paper and a pen next to the phone. And if someone wanted to talk to your mother or someone wanted to talk to your dad, you took a message and you wrote down a phone number where that person could be reached again. These things were taught and were watched. And as I practiced them, as my brother practiced them, and once my parents were confident in the fact that we could handle the telephone, we were allowed to answer the phone when it rang. This was not an automatic thing. We were taught how to use it. Let's fast forward to today. A lot of those manners and habits and practices that I was taught have been lost because of the immediacy and the just complete, total of constant available. The constant saturation of communication that we have. We are bombarded with text information. We're bombarded with Facebook, social medias. We're bombarded with videos from YouTube. We're bombarded with all of these things. And no one is instructing people how to use them. It's not uncommon to be sitting in a movie theater, walking in a grocery store, walking in a shopping mall, and I'll think someone is speaking to me. I'll turn around to see who it is, and they're talking to no one, it would appear. But they have a little thing in their ear, and they're talking to whoever it is on the other end of the phone. I've done it before. I know it's a deal. I know it happens. But is this good social interaction? I'm going to say no, because I think both things are lacking. I think engagement with the world around you and engagement with the person on the phone suffers because you're not giving them 100% of your attention. You're giving them part of your attention while you monitor what's going on in the outside world to some degree. Now, some people completely lose track of what's going on in the outside world, and they run into things, they run into people, they bump into furniture, they fall down, and they end up on the total fail videos that pop up on Snapchat and other social media sites and also all over the internet. They go viral because they run into a tree branch that ends up scraping off the top layer of skin off the top of their head, and they bleed all over. I mean, they end up somewhere on the internet, or it's just annoying to the people who are around them. So as teachers, I think it's up to us to teach our students how to responsibly use social media. And one of the things that I suggest we do is that we pay very close attention to what goes on in the media, what goes on in the news, what news stories are focused on internet usage, what news stories are focused on social media, what news stories are focused on these companies and these people who are creating these apps and the software and the things that are literally controlling our students and our lives to a great extent. We need to pay attention to these things. We also need to bring what we learn to the attention of our students. Let's face it. I don't care what year it's been. It could be 1940 to when students don't pay attention to the news. They just don't. It's not kind of part of their world. So it's up to us to kind of bring the things that are important to their world in the news to their attention so that they can know a little bit about what's going on. When there are lawsuits involving social media, that type of thing going on, they need to know that. The basic things they need to know is that nothing is private. Nothing goes away. I don't care if it's Snapchat, Instagram, and you think it's gone in 24 hours. No, somewhere there's a record of it. Every one of these companies could have to answer to world courts. They could have to answer to other nations if crimes are committed over that platform. So they must keep copies of everything that occurs on their platform. And I promise you, it goes on and it happens. And if someone needs a copy of what went on, what transpired between two parties, that can be retrieved. Maybe not easily, but it can be retrieved. The other thing students don't realize are the crimes that are connected with carrying some of these things on their phone. Sexting can be charged as child pornography, even if the student or the person who's carrying the images is underage themselves. So, the laws have not kept up with technology. That's really what it comes down to. And it's up to us to point out the dangers that the students and possibly even the parents are unaware of. Some of the online games that are going on are allowed to be hacked and allowed to be used in various ways that are not what the authors of the game intended. And some of that puts our students at risk. One of the things that concerns me is I've noticed a trend among teachers to view parents as not enemies necessarily, but adversaries at least. That's dangerous. We're a team. And it's up to us to help that student grow, and we need to make sure that there are not things getting in the way, for instance, digital involvement online. So one of the things that I try to do is I try to, as well as keep students informed with what I'm seeing, I also try to keep parents informed. I usually send out a newsletter quarterly, 2 to 4 times a year. Pardon me. 2 to 4 times a year. That focuses on really the student's life, especially as it pertains to my interaction with them, meaning curriculum, Google Classrooms. It also gives parents some tips on monitoring electronic usage and a few things like that. In my classroom, one of the things I try to practice is I make sure my students have two choices. They can place their phones in a numbered carrier. Numbered looks like a shoe carrier, but it's not. It's like a calculator holder. They can place it in the number that corresponds with their seat number, or they can have their phone at their desk if it is face down in the left-hand corner of their desk where I can see it. They may not pick it up, whether it flashes or buzzes or any of that. It must stay face down. I recommend they turn it off, so they're not interrupted in my classroom. I also make sure they understand it's a recommendation. It's not a requirement, but it is required that you not touch your phone. I explain that I will also, I'll call home if the phone interrupts my class. And if it is a parent calling, I will ask the parent to not call during my class period. And I'll make sure they know when my class period is. And I'll suggest they not call during the school day and have it be a distraction. Because I know that there are some parents now who have grown up practically their entire life with cell phones and don't realize that it is a distraction and don't realize that it is interrupting the day and the function of things. It's interesting. I talk in some of my videos on the YouTube channel about not holding students accountable for things they have not been taught. It's kind of a mantra of mine, and it goes for anybody. I don't care how old they are. You don't hold people accountable for things they have not been taught. The phrase, ignorance of the law is no excuse, does not apply when teaching students, because it's our job to erase that ignorance with knowledge. So we focus on making sure that students are as aware of the impact of their digital device usage as they possibly can be. They need to take into account other people around them. They need to take into account the feelings of others. And that comes into teaching empathy, which is something I've really started looking at in great depth this summer, really paying close attention to how we teach empathy. All of these things are tied up, but really it comes down to one major word, and that's relationships. Teaching students how to have strong, healthy, and productive relationships with their peers, with their parents, and with their teachers. That's what it boils down to, relationships. So this has been my first broadcast, about 15 minutes. I've enjoyed it. I enjoy learning with you. I enjoy teaching with you. And together, we can take over the world.